Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'd rather be playing Spider-Man 2.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we are covering Robot Wars Extreme Warriors Season 2 Heat D. Yes, and I'd rather be playing Phantom Liberty, but here we are.
So, why don't we start as we mean to go on? What was the first thing that you messaged me when you started watching this batch of episodes?
I'll just double check.
I believe it was something along the lines of, why did I include this series?
Yes.
Yes.
I have regrets. Also, just to recap, when I watched this event for the first time, I had it all on 1.25 speed.
Mm-hmm.
So for the fights to still be slow and dull.
There was the occasional good one. Like, yes. We'll give credit when credit's due. It's just, it's not due very often.
Also, take into consideration one other thing. If you're listening to this episode, we are recording this episode especially because Alan can't fucking count. So this episode is coming out literally the day it's recorded.
Yep, so we're going to try and not go off on any more tangents, and we're just going to stick to the script.
Yes, because that's worked so well every other time we've tried that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, if you want to get back to playing Cyberpunk and I want to get to playing Spider-Man, like, we'll try and keep this in a bottleneck kind of lane.
Right, anyway.
So, Heat D.
Heat D. And we start, as we often do, with a freeway fight.
Well, actually, we start with 5 minutes of, here's the house robots, like you've never
yes!
seen them before.
Yes!
Every single episode.
No, we haven't had this yet.
No, well, we get it. The next three episodes. It's like, remember, like, the last batch of episodes we talked about how, God, they are filling time. And it's like, they found a new way to fill time, and yep. It's just by playing the same thing over and over.
What happened is they saw the interview with Rocky Balboa and went, yes, that's a good idea.
Yes, let's do the same joke again and again and again and again and again.
Again, again!
So, our first three-way match. From California, the Revolutionist.
Yay. These guys are back.
At least they don't have the ridiculous outfits this time.
Yes, instead what we get is loads of snarky and funny comments.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they are still wearing the American flag as a t-shirt and cap combo, but maybe like there wasn't enough space for those insane costumes from last year.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, okay.
From Oregon, The Gap.
Which is actually quite a neat looking robot. It's probably one of the few I say actually would belong in this time period. Mm-hmm. It is a flipper robot, quite an unusual shape. But it's certainly an interesting design, and I'm always a sucker for a robot that is all kind of piping instead of a robot that's just covered in armor.
Yeah. Boy, you'll love Triton from BattleBots.
I imagine so.
I mean, even I'm quite impressed by that kind of robot. But anyway,
yeah.
Join us in 6 years when we talk about Triton. And from North Carolina, Draxilla.
What if you got Killatron, made it a tank, painted it black, and gave it a worse weapon? The worry.
And I don't know how you managed to get a worse weapon than Killatron's axe.
Well, Killatron's axe actually did any of the things that it's meant to.
Yeah. The pre-fight build-up for this fight lasted longer than the fight. So.
Because what happens is Traxxel immediately gets flipped by the gap.
Yep.
And that's it. The fight itself is over.
But we need to kill Tame.
Yes. And also, just so we're noting here, again, with noting it, the fight is over. There's absolutely no reason for anyone to attack anyone else.
Uh-huh.
Now, why do you think I'm going after this with this particular team?
Yep.
Because
yep.
Exactly. Because then the revolutionist, even though the fight is clearly over, attacks the gap from behind.
Not only does it attack it from behind, it dinks it once and the gap is dead. It is like... You just seen the life just boom right out of the gap instantly, and you're right. I actually didn't think about that at the time, but as soon as you started to talk, I was like, I know exactly where he's going with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to note. I mean, I don't know why I'm bringing this up with a Brian Nave bot. I have no idea at all. It's a complete and utter mystery.
So yep, the house robots come in, they do their thing, and then there's this shot of like the revolutionist sitting on the little floor spinner, and I don't know, that was just aesthetically pleasing to me because it was like the perfect size. Blah blah blah. This is essentially a blah blah blah. Traxxilla gets floor flipped and the fight's over, and then in the sort of post fight interview, like the Gap team were like, oh, we wish it went longer. It's like, why did you flip Traxxilla like instantly then if you wanted it to go longer?
And you were actually lucky it didn't go longer. If it went longer you would have probably still got hit by behind from behind.
Yeah if it went longer you might have actually lost.
Yes, so
that would have been a damn shame.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a reminder, the Gap, isn't that the robot that was partially built by a friend of ours?
Friend of the show, yes.
Yes. Nice.
And his other creation we'll be seeing in a few weeks.
Yes, but not in the next two, unfortunately. Because I could have done with a second robot that I'm like, oh, yay!
Oh, look, a robot I'm happy to see.
Anyway.
Yes, we digress. We'll just move straight on to the second three-way.
Yes, please.
Well, here we go with a robot that looks like it came directly out of season two. From Florida and California, Psycho Chicken.
So this is the same team that made Mad Cow last year.
Yeah, so I can't wait till season three so they have, Insane Duck or something.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to season...
What's the deal with these people and their farm of mentally insane animals?
So, this robot, it is an enormous, quite clearly hollow box. It's covered in feather, so the second you look at it... So Sergeant Bash is going to be one of the house robots in every single fight that this team has.
Mm-hmm.
And unsurprisingly, I'm right on that front. And It does do one thing quite interesting, though, to be fair.
Yes, if it's the thing I'm thinking about.
Which is, this appears to be the innovator of the mini-bops.
Yeah, but it's not just the way that it has a mini-bot sitting next to it. It goes in the arena, and then it goes 3-2-1 activate, and then Psycho Chicken just shits out a little egg.
I think you'll find that chickens lay eggs.
No, it comes from their butt.
One of us has kept chickens.
From Colorado, Propeller Head.
So, Propeller Head is a interesting design. It's kind of... I'm trying to think of a way to put this. It's someone who's seen Son of Waiachi and has started building Son of Waiachi and then realised they've not got enough weight to make Son of Waiachi. So they just put a lawnmower blade. Well, sorry, not a lawnmower blade. They actually say what it is. It's a part of a leaf spring from a truck suspension.
Yeah.
So it is a top bar spinner.
Yeah.
Yep.
And from California and Nevada, Snookums.
Oh, boy. So this is a shark. It has a spike on the front. And it is made with tissue paper. And how do we know it is made of tissue paper?
Because, like, on impact with anything, it folds up like an accordion.
Yeah, because you're watching it at first. And at first, you think, oh, Psycho Chicken is really in problems here. And there, you know, it doesn't seem to be really in control. It's kind of flopping about. The egg immediately bumps into Propeller Head and explodes.
Yeah. Because that was the thing, like, with Propeller Head, it didn't look like the weapon was... it didn't look like the weapons were going to be that strong, but it definitely done more than I expected it to.
And then, as this is happening, you see in the background, Propellerhead tag the front of Snookums. And yep. Suddenly there's not a front of Snookums.
There was a hole where a face used to be.
And then, almost immediately after, there's a hole where the tail used to be.
There was a hole where the robot should have been.
Meanwhile, Psycho Chicken is getting bullied!
We're having some fried chicken tonight, boys.
Yeah, Sakilo and Sergeant Bash are just offended. They're like, no, we only like one ridiculously flammable robot, and I don't see no red and black polka dots.
Mm-hmm.
Get out!
Maybe they were just like, well, you look like you're from 3 seasons ago. Technology is advanced by this point. Get out of here.
And, yeah, so, after all that happens, Snookums does get counted out.
Mm-hmm.
And then pitted. And afterwards, something interesting happens, which Mick Foley gets promised a hat!
Yes. Yep, he was really excited about getting a present. Let's see if they'll come through on the next fight.
It's Mick Foley. He loves anything that's free, as long as it's him receiving, not giving.
Yes, of course. And who doesn't love free shit, though? Like, that's the thing, is like, people kind of make fun of Mick Foley for his thriftiness, that's his word. But at the same time, like, if you were in that situation, wouldn't you thrift as well?
Fair enough.
I suppose we should mention them since they're now out. Snookums, their team. Like, there's a lot of gimmicks in this episode.
Yeah.
So Team Snookums, as I said, we'll mention them quickly. They are pirates, and the the main one that keeps getting interviewed cannot keep his pirate accent that long before it just kind of stops.
Which is why
now, at the very least, I appreciate Rocky Balboa for always maintaining character.
Also, a couple other things. Firstly, one we should point out, this is the same team that's contested in Robotica with Finitastic. Mm. And, well, let's just say that the shark-themed robots do develop a bit of a sting in future robots.
Sting.
They start breeding their sharks with scorpions.
Ah, yes. I knew that part.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think, where's he going with this?
So,
yeah.
Speaking of...
I guess you could say Snookums is just a baby shark.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. So, back to Alan's favourite hobby, shitting on the Revolutionist team. So, firstly, one, how bad do you have to be to move to not hit a completely stationary robot?
I mean, they do look like they're dressed for like a barbecue. Maybe they were having a few beers and a few dogs before the fight.
So this fight lasts even less time than the previous fight featuring the Revolutionist. The wheels of the chicken come off very, very quickly. So at this point, so within about 10 seconds, Psycho Chicken is a shopping trolley.
Yeah.
It'd be really awkward if the Revolutionists kept hitting them.
Yes, you know, after their wheels had came off and they can't defend themselves.
Absolutely.
Hmm. There is that bit, though, when, like, the wheels come off and then Psycho Chicken, qu'est-ce que c'est, was just freewheeling around the arena.
Yes, it's brilliant.
I mean, like, that's the thing, is like, obviously it's more the team.
Yeah.
That we have issues with, but the robot, like, all
well,
of all
the
of,
robot's brilliant.
All of their the robots era. Are brilliant. But yes, we digress from that. But yeah, that is interesting. Two fights in a row. And it's, you know, it's not one of those things where they could mistake Psycho Chicken, qu'est-ce que c'est, for still moving.
Yes.
Hmm. And then...
Unsurprisingly, yeah. The well-built robot defeats the joke robot.
Yes.
The robot that Napalm looks at and went, oh, you're shoddy built.
Yeah.
So... Anyway,
let me adjust my entire body. There we go. Yeah, you're shoddily built.
So, whilst the Revolutionist is doing the cheap pro wrestling knockoff and nasty promos and being mean and everything, the Gap and Propellerhead are shaking hands.
Yeah.
And actually treating this as if it is a serious event.
Well, again, that's what characters are all about. And it's pretty... Because, like, yeah, like... I think the first promo, or let's call it interview, because it turns into a promo, because, like, the chick backstage, I can't remember her name, Caroline or something? Carol?
She's no, here's the thing. I think One thing I will say, both Mick Foley and Carolyn are actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
they're
I mean...
better presenters than anyone on Comedy Central BattleBots.
Very quick sidetrack. There's been a few fights of the, you know, BattleBots does this live show in Vegas like every night now. Guess who commentates the live show?
Bill Dwyer.
Bill Dwyer. Like,
you mean the only decent guy from the original series?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, like, I was, like, listening. It's, like, him and I think some British guy. I don't know who that is. But I was, like, I swear to God, I recognize that voice. And then I was, like, wait, is that Bill Dwyer? That makes sense. But yes. And then, like, then the other dude went, oh, this is a hell of a match, Bill. And I was, like, yep, confirmed. But yeah, back quickly to the point. The first time they were interviewing the Revolutionist, and then Bill like snatches the microphone out of Caroline's hand, and then cuts like a wrestling promo to the camera, and it's like, yep, well, USA, USA. So as you mentioned, Propeller Head and the Gap. Our second semi-final. And the first thing that Propeller Head does is the exact thing that Revolutionist did in the first fight, is go straight for the back of the Gap. And Propeller Head hits the Gap in the back. That's a confusing set of words. Like several times, and it's every time you see Propeller Head hit the back of the Gap, it progressively just gets slower and slower and slower, and then faster again, and then slower.
Yeah.
Because there's just this point where it's like it's practically dead. Propeller Head goes for the pit release, and then all of a sudden. The Gap just goes meow, right across the arena.
Yeah, now here's the thing. You can understand his logic, because if you were in any other arena apart from the Robot Wars arena, you don't have to worry about this sort of stuff. And also, you don't know, obviously, the lighting and whatever. Because I get the impression, because this has happened a few times, where people are coming from that angle, where they're coming in. So the robots between them, between the drivers and the pit, I can see how people would miss the pit. And especially if it's lower ring instead of down.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, at lowering, I feel like if you're looking at it from a top angle, there's a very good chance that like you cannot see that pit lowering.
Yeah.
Like, if it's already lowered, you could probably see that because you can see the space, but... From like, because that's what they kind of says, like, we just turned right at the wrong time, and just got caught.
So, anyway, the most important thing isn't the fact that Propeller Head managed to successfully defeat a very well built and well designed
robot.
It's that Mick Foley gets a hat.
He does, and he's super excited about this hat.
Of course he is. It's a cool hat.
Anyway, forget you, team. Where's my hat?
So, we now have the clash of the full body spinner and the top side bar spinner.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we watch this. The only way you can watch this at the moment is in like 360 or 480 quality.
Yep.
Because some of the impacts on this just look nasty.
Yeah, I mean, here's the question. Would you be more inclined to watch this if these ended up on Mech Plus, which now has a TV channel, by the way?
Yes, on Freeview. No, they've had a TV channel for a while, but now they're getting one on Freeview.
Yeah, that's more specifically what I meant.
Yes. But,
good for them. They're really coming up in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ugh. All right, let's see. Sorry, Taco's here.
Hello, Taco.
He's staring at me. It's because, like, see, whenever I'm on the phone, he, like, comes up and does this kind of stuff. So I think it's because, like, obviously we're doing this, it's as if I'm on the phone. And so he thinks, uh-oh, I need to go and alert him.
Yes.
Right. So the final fight... okay, so, actually, I'm gonna do something right now. As you know, I always watch the episodes on silent as we go along. So I'm going to time how long it takes to get to the final fight. So we just have Mick Foley announcing that the final is going to be the Revolutionist versus Propellerhead. He does this funny little spin thing. So that's 32 minutes into the episode.
Yep.
So I'm now hitting fast forward because we get a recap of the entire episode. And I swear to God, you could probably cut out the first 30 minutes, watch this. Watch this recap, because it practically shows the entire fight of every fight. So we're still going. We're still going. Yeah, Revolutionist versus Propellerhead is our final fight. This one has potential to be a good one.
Absolutely.
We're now at the backstage. We're still talking backstage. This has been about... 7 minutes. 7 minutes from the Mick Foley.
Just to put this in, this is a 44-minute episode.
Uh-huh.
Also, at what stage did we actually have the final set? It must have been, like, 25, 30 minutes in?
Yeah. Because, like, we've said this before, but, like, it's so, so apparent and, like, this episode, more than any, that's like, this could be a very neat half an hour episode, and then they fill it with so much fluff.
Yes.
Like, that's why they start doing the introducing the house robots, and let's recap the entire episode. And it's like, if you just cut all that out, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're finally here for the final, and did you notice something about the arena?
That the arena looks a lot cleaner?
Yes. I wonder if they had to change it for reasons, because it definitely did not look that clean throughout the rest of the episode.
Yeah. So we actually get to the fight itself, and... It's two really hard-hitting robots smashing into each other until suddenly you just see this moment where Revolutionist catches the weapon of Propellerhead and the weapon pops off. And you can hear, it's one of the few times a commentator's actually like saying something interesting, going, oh, okay, they're in real trouble here.
Yeah. Because I'll save it until we get to the end fight interview, but, whoa, sorry. After the weapon comes off, the Revolutionist pretty much has this in the bag. Propellerhead is on the pit, and Revolutionist hits the pit button. And Propellerhead just manages.
Yeah, oh, it's scary how close they get.
Yeah, like, it was actually down, and they just, like, kind of used physics to get out of there. So both Revolutionist and Propellerhead, or we should just call them Head now, are in the corner. And, oh, look. Sir Killa and Dead Metal are, like, on either side, and I think, like, Propellerhead is in the grips of Dead Metal, but still manages to somehow turn around and managed to pit revolutionists while all this other chaos is happening?
I don't know. I think it's the way it looks, it's kind of hard to tell if it's pushing revolutionists or if revolutionists is driving.
Right, let's I'm gonna go back and watch it again. No, it's definitely propeller head pushing.
Right, okay. I don't know anyway.
It was just so surreal. It's just like, if I was in that situation, I don't think I would have been able to pull that off. So we get to the end fight interview.
Right,
and
before
this is where,
interviews, we get a random revolutionist promo.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
What? Must have needed to fill another 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, like, we get to the interview with Propellerhead, and apparently they said that they deliberately detached the weapon. Like, I don't know if this was meant to be a joke or sarcasm or whatever, but
this is the problem, is anytime Americans try sarcasm, and you're like, oh, this was an attempt. Oh, okay.
Because it's like, we've seen this dude before from Team Propellerhead and Robotica. So, I mean, we know that he's like, you know, he's not like seriously and like, ooh, I took this so seriously. But like, he doesn't seem like a jokey type of person. So that's why I'm kind of taking it as if like he was actually being serious.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell, but like, no, he claims that they detached the weapon themselves to make it just a push bot. And it's like, maybe they did. But I mean, it worked because, you know, they won the fight, so.
But anyway, Propellerhead is has to be considered a favourite. Now, they've just put a robot that was second in last year's championship out.
We sure did.
And anyway, we have two episodes to record and one episode for me to edit. So let's quickly skip through the trivia.
Yay.
So, Heat D featured an equal 3-3 split of newcomers and veterans. Interestingly, the only newcomer to pass the first round won the Heat.
Hmm.
And Mick Foley said Craig Charles' famous quote, "Let the wars begin," at the start of the first battle.
Uh-oh, gimmick infringement.
Oh, well. Anyway, we have a pair of episodes left to record today, both of which feature a Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Yay. This can't possibly backfire having them back to back.
It could have been worse. It could have been in the same episode. All that and more next week.